This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
With Anastasia and Warren, Joy 94.9.
Good morning, Anastasia.
How are you, my darling man?
Good morning, Melbourne. I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I had nightmares all night.
Nightmares?
Yeah, so I've learnt my lesson. Never watch Netflix before you go to bed. Well, horror
what were you
stories
watching?
Anyway. It was a really fantastic series called The Killing. And, you know, I had nightmares. Like, I had, there was blood all over my doona in the dream.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I was hiding under a house. And one of the main characters got killed last night. Her name was Bullet, and bullets were coming towards me. It was horrible.
That's why you look like a deer in headlights
yeah,
this morning
totally.
When you walked,
into
the studio. What have you been up all night?
Yeah, it was really scary. So
I had a bit of a quandary on the tram this morning.
Did you? What happened?
There was a guy. I could smell cigarette smoke. So I was at the front of the tram.
Yeah.
I could smell it. And these people were all coming and sitting at the front of the tram. And I thought to myself, oh, my goodness, someone's smoking. I looked around. There's a guy at the back.
You're kidding me.
Legs crossed, puffing away. On a cigarette. And I thought to myself, we're all being subjected to this cigarette smoke.
Passive smoking.
Passive smoking, right? Whatever. But everyone was too scared to say anything because he looked like he was intoxicated.
Yeah.
And I thought, isn't it funny? Because we're too scared to say something about our health.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, it was only a one-off. I don't know what the risk is.
Yeah, but even so.
But everyone was just like, the
passive
tram.
Passive smoking in a tram would be hideous, especially
absolutely.
That time in the morning.
And I was lucky because I was getting off. Just
so
you
didn't approach him?
No, I didn't. But I thought to myself, would I or wouldn't I if I'd continued?
I probably would have done the same as you, though. I would have been hesitant, thinking you might knock my block off if I tell him to butt
out. It's a real difficult situation.
But, you know, it just reminds me of the good old days. You could smoke wherever you wanted. You know, back in Greece, you could the bank tellers would be smoking as they'd be passing over the cash. Doctors even used to smoke.
Really?
Yeah. My first girlfriend used to go get sleeping pills off this guy in St Kilda. His name was Dr Splats. It could have been his.
Dr Splats.
He used to smoke in like, a GP, smoking in there. How's that?
Dr. Splats. Victoria will follow in New South Wales' footsteps and trial a safe drug injecting room in inner Melbourne amid a growing heroin crisis in the state. I think this is a fantastic idea.
I think it's a brilliant idea as well.
Now, I live in the Richmond area and there's a huge problem. Everyone
it's
knows.
Massive it's massive in Richmond.
And you can't even go down Victoria Street anymore. In fact, I noticed I did go down last week and it was dead.
Yeah.
It was absolutely dead. And that used to be a bustling shopping strip with all those little Asian grocery stores and cafes.
Yeah.
And it was completely dead. And it's almost like everyone's been scared away.
And you know what it's created also? There's a real heaviness in that part of Richmond as well. You can feel the trauma of it, can't you?
Absolutely. And I know we've had people overdose in our street.
That's terrible.
And which has been really horrific to see happen. So I think it's great that they've done it. The only thing that concerns me, though, is I was reading it's only for heroin, and it seems to be
only for heroin, isn't it?
It's only for heroin users. It's not for people using other drugs like crystal meth, and that certainly seems to be
Yeah, maybe they're starting off slowly.
Well, I hope so. I hope they open up to everyone and just give everyone a safe place. So, yeah, so some good news.
Yes, absolutely.
Finally, Netflix may be working on a House of Cards spin-off that won't involve Kevin Spacey after he received sexual assault allegations.
Yes.
So apparently they're mulling over several ideas, including one involving Frank Underwood's chief of staff, Doug Stamper.
Yeah, right.
Do you like Doug?
I can't remember Doug. Was Doug the one that was obsessed with Kevin that did everything for him?
Yeah.
Yeah, I loved him.
Imagine having an assistant like that.
Oh, he'd be amazing. We need a producer if anyone's interested.
There's at least two other spin-off ideas in the making, but no writer's been assigned to them. And Kevin Spacey's name is not mentioned in any of the ideas at all.
Yes.
And Netflix was quick to issue statements saying they were deeply troubled by the allegations after they surfaced. And the sixth season has been put on hold.
And you know what? That's my favourite thing on Netflix. House of Cards. Mine too.
Like,
I'm obsessed with that show. I could watch it over and over again. I don't like watching things on repeat, but House of Cards, I do.
I agree. I think it's really sad. I liked Kevin Spacey as an actor. I think he did a great job. And
he's
really
a brilliant actor. There's no question there. It's just really sad and disappointing about the allegations. What do you think of his actual tweet, though, like addressing the problem?
Well, it's very long.
Yeah.
It's a very long tweet. And I think, well, he almost, he doesn't deny it.
No, he doesn't deny it.
He doesn't confirm it.
He says he doesn't remember it.
Doesn't remember it.
And that he's very, very sorry about it. And then he comes, and then the second paragraph is about him saying, well, now I'm going to address my homosexuality. I now live as a gay man. The only problem I have with this tweet is that it starts off with an apology with this guy, Anthony Rapp, that's made the allegations, and he was only 14 years old when this happened. And then it goes to, it deflects to, hey, by the way, I'm a gay man. And for me, I'm a little bit uncomfortable with that. Let's just address the issue at hand.
Yeah.
And then we can address the fact that you're gay, but you've chosen to come out gay publicly and deflect from the issue of that someone's has got some allegations against you of sexual harassment.
And when I read it, it almost sounds like he's saying that coming out of gay is the more controversial piece of information in it.
Yeah.
But really it's the sexual assault allegations that are the evil piece of information.
Exactly so right. So that's what I don't feel comfortable with.
Yeah.
It's like, how about you just, if you did do it, because they're only allegations, how about you just apologise? That's what I'm getting sick of. All these guys are coming out now, like, oh, they've been, you know, what. But no one apologises. No one takes any accountability.
Mm.
They just deflect from shit, yeah?
And the other thing is coming out should be, a momentous occasion.
Absolutely.
Like you're proud, it's happy, and not necessarily tied to something that's so negative. So
exactly.
I think I agree with you on this one. I think it's...
Really?
Yeah.
You hardly ever agree with me.
I hardly ever, but I'm going to agree with you on this one.
Yeah.
I think that, it's a deflection.
It's absolutely a deflection.
Hey, this is going on over there, but look over here.
Yeah,
I'm
look
gay.
Over here. Guess what? I'm gay.
Yeah. Maybe I could have come out earlier.
Yeah.
You know, rather than being forced to come
out
for sexual
assault. That's not in saying that at the fact, like, it would be very hard to come out gay, and I'm not saying anything about that, but not right now, dude.
Yeah.
You could have chosen another time.
So why don't you tweet back to him?
I might, actually.
You can tweet back to him.
Yeah, I will. I hate tweets, though. I feel really insecure using it.
I'll show you how to use it.
Maybe I'll Facebook him.
I've got a question for you.
Yeah, go on.
Do you know when you go into a store
yes.
and they have testers? It might be a hand cream.
I love testers, yeah.
Or it might be
I always get it wrong,
whatever
though.
It is.
Yeah.
Do you use them? Like, what if it's something that you have to put your
finger
in?
I'm known as the woman that walks into major department stores and sprays myself silly and then walks out.
But that's okay because you're spraying something, so you're not actually – but what if it's a tub of moisturiser?
Oh, I can't.
And everyone's dipped their hand in it.
Oh, no, it makes me sick. No way. Not a chance, buddy.
Do you do that?
Not a chance.
I wouldn't touch it either.
Would you?
No, if it's a tube and you can squeeze it out.
Yeah, that's fine.
Or spray, I would.
Yeah.
What about – how do you test lipstick?
Lipstick. How do you test
– how do you test lipstick?
You use your hand. You use the upper top of your arm, right?
Right.
And you that's what you do.
But do people go in and put it on on their lips?
Not very sane people.
No?
I mean, how disgusting. Imagine me applying some lippy on you from someone else's. Another 50 mouths have been on it before yours. You know what I mean? Like, why would you?
Well, I wouldn't let you, but I just wondered, how do you test it? So you put it on your hand.
You put it on your hand and you check the shades. I mean, sure, it's not the same colour as your lips, but I mean, if you're stupid enough to put it on your... I just think it's dirty.
Yeah, like absolutely.
I said, you know, like, yuck. Especially if it is going on all these hands and different mouths. Oh, well, sounds like a night out.
a cosmetic store in Hollywood.
Average night out in Warren's night.
A cosmetic store in Hollywood cared more about peddling lipstick than the oral health of customers, and now a woman is stuck with a lifelong disease, according to a new lawsuit in the US.
Why?
That's right. A California woman claims she visited the store in October 2015, sampled a lipstick from one of the common use tubes on display.
Yes.
And she ended up with herpes on her lip.
You're kidding. So she applied the lipstick on her lips.
She applied it on her lips.
Oh,
she never, she claims she's never had the infection before. And according to the documents, the cosmetics manufacturer failed to clearly warn the woman and other customers of the risk of getting herpes or other diseases from trying on the lipstick samples.
Wow.
She says if she would have known, she would have avoided them like the plague. Wouldn't you sort of...
Yeah, exactly.
Wouldn't you know?
Yeah, I was going to ask something really stupid then and say, can you get herpes on your hand? You can't, can you? I think that's absolutely ridiculous.
I don't even know if it's... You know, surely if you saw a lipstick that was common, you're not, like you said, you're not going to put it on.
No, of course you're not. Well, I would. No, I don't think most people would, yeah? Unless someone's really desperate and they need some Lippy on before they go to a party.
Let's go down. We're near the department stores. Let's head down.
Let's try some Lippy on. You know what, though? I will say something very quickly, Warren. I was having coffee in the CBD the other week.
Yeah.
And this man walked into a coffee shop that I go to. It's my favourite coffee shop in Melbourne. And he had big curly hair and he had a suit on and he had a beard. Right, he was very handsome.
Sounds handsome.
And he had lipstick on.
Okay.
And you know what? He still was incredibly masculine. He had like these little specs on. He was so cool. I felt like I'd walked into, like I was in New York, not in Melbourne.
Mm.
But it was just interesting because I went, wow, you're wearing lipstick and yet you still look incredibly masculine.
And why can't you look
exactly
masculine? What colour was it?
It was a red. He had really thin lips, but he had red lipstick on, big white, beautiful white teeth. And I just thought he was just stunning. A beard, big curly hair and this gorgeous suit. And I went, wow, I want to see more of that.
Did he have matching shoes?
I can't remember the shoes. Lipstick? But he just looked adorable, darling.
Maybe
you should try it next show tomorrow.
I'm happy to try it on, but I'm not going to use a common one.
No.
And I'm certainly not going to use yours. Colin, would you use a tester lipstick or tester products?
Oh, I do use tester products, but I make sure that they've never been touched by human hands. They've actually been assembled by they've been assembled by monkeys.
Thanks, Colin.
Hey, Warren, I've got breaking news. This is
breaking
full
news.
Do
we need the news theme?
Probably. Go on.
What's the news?
You know what? A tips jar containing about $250 was stolen from a Mentone shop along with a muffin.
Oh, no.
Yeah, a man entered the Como Parade West shop about 12:40 p.m. on September the 25th, snatching the items. Can you believe that?
The tips jar.
Yeah.
That's pretty horrible.
Police believe it can assist them in their inquiries. It was described as being of Caucasian appearance, aged in his late teens to early 20s with long brown hair. So if anyone sees a guy looking like that...
with muffin crumbs all over his face. And 250.
Now, that would be terrible because, you know, I'm in the hospitality industry and we work really hard for our tips, and usually those tips are collected... depends how the boss wants to break up the tips, but usually what they do is that we save all the tip money and then we go out at the end of the year and have the best Christmas party. This guy is taking $250.
Taking the Christmas party.
Yeah, he's taking the Christmas party stuff.
And a muffin.
And a muffin. I hope the muffin tastes good, though.
And a muffin. What? How do the tips work, though? Because what if you're really good at your job and you get lots?
You split them.
And then it gets
It's always been the frustration in hospitality because you've got to split them with people that you actually got to carry.
So you've got to carry all the people.
So imagine you and me had the split tips.
I'd get none.
Yeah, you'd get none. Or no, you would get even and you'd be like, fuck, I feel really ripped off. You know what I mean? Like, she's just turned up, blow waved her hair, and I've done everything. You know what I mean?
Well, at least you'd probably get more for the muffins because you're better at making the muffins than
I am. I'm really good at making muffins. I don't eat them, but when I make them, God, customers are so excited. They're like, "Oh, where's the chef? That is amazing!
What sort of muffins?
Cranberry and coconut muffin. I've never tasted anything like it." I'm always thinking, "You got to get out more." Like, I roll my eyes.
What sort of muffins do you make?
Oh, it depends. Whatever's on hand. I made some raspberry ones with coconut and dark chocolate. You know.
So if you're the chef in the kitchen.
Orange
you don't
blossom.
Get, and the tips are all for this.
No, you do. It depends. Like I do, but in some places, no, the chefs never get anything.
And they do all the hard work.
Waiters and waiters, exactly.
I don't know if that's fair.
It's not fair at all.
So if there's a man running down the street with a tips jar and a muffin, crumbs around his mouth, call the police. It was Halloween this week.
I know. How do you feel about Halloween?
I don't get what the big deal about it is. Yeah, did you have anyone come and knock on your
door?
No
one knocked on my door. No, did anyone knock on yours?
Yeah, they did, but I didn't have anything to give them. I felt bad.
Why is it so massive here in Australia? I get it in America, but why are we embracing it so much?
This year seemed to be more so, I think.
Yeah.
I noticed. I had about six different kids knocking on the door wanting sweets or something. So, but they were with their parents, which was really good to see.
Oh, that's lovely. Did you give the parents some lollies too?
I didn't have any lollies to give.
No, what did you give them?
I gave them a bit of money.
Here's 5 cents for you. Here's five cents.
I felt terrible. I was like, the stooge of the street. Yeah.
Totally.
Because I don't have any sweets in my house.
No, well, that's good because you don't eat sugar. You're a boring man.
But some of them...
I've got a tissue. I don't eat sugar. I go to the gym 4 times a week.
5 times a week,
I go to bed 8:30 from doing breakfast radio.
And I hold the fort together.
I
hold it together for you.
Every time I go to the bathroom.
Some of the makeup was really good.
Yes. I bet it was.
Yeah, really good. Do you wear makeup?
Do I look like I wear makeup?
No.
Exactly. Do you know what, though? I don't think I could get any hotter than what I am. So if I that actually scares me, because if I put makeup on this beautiful facha, people are going to be already – like, I'm already getting stalkers, listeners seeing me down the street screaming at me. Can you imagine if I start putting makeup on?
You might, you could maybe do one of the Halloween.
I have had to wear makeup, like, when I've had to be a bridesmaid. Like, imagine a full-on truck driver bloke walking in a bridesmaid dress. That's me. Like, legs apart, holding onto a wall. And I look ridiculous with makeup on. I look as good as you. You know what I mean?
You've got a nice complexion.
I do have a nice complexion.
See which way the compliments are flowing.
I know, you're being really lovely now.
Well, a woman, she's been left with a swollen face.
Oh, no.
Yeah, after putting her Halloween makeup on.
Yeah.
She did.
Talk us through it.
She put it on, she went out, she had it, she created a zip so her face was splitting. Oh, it looked like it was all red and full of blood and everything. Yeah. I mean, she looked pretty good.
It's very creative.
It's just very creative. She looked pretty good. She and she went out. She did her trick or treating or whatever you call it.
Yeah. I wonder if she put a real zip on her face.
Maybe she did. Maybe that's what the problem is. The morning after, her right eye was so swollen she could barely see out of it. And her partner still thought it was the Halloween.
So she probably had an allergic reaction to all
she's
the makeup.
She's had an allergic reaction.
Because, I mean, makeup's made of some really heavy stuff. So much chemicals and crap.
I react sometimes to certain moisturisers. I don't know what it is.
Don't you use baby powder?
I use baby powder under my arms because I can't use
some
of the deodorants.
Is that what the smell is? Because I always think there's a little baby at your house. I'm thinking, always looking around going, where's the little bubba? Like his neighbours, kids coming over, whatever. So it's you.
It's me.
Just under the arms, do you?
Yeah.
What about on the bottom after you've had a shower?
Just under the arms. Because I react to some of the deodorant. I can use deodorants.
What about in your beard?
No.
No, you should actually sometimes.
Why?
Sometimes when I come up close, I can smell the...
You cannot.
The milk from the coffee.
You cannot.
And the eggs.
I don't have milk in my coffee. That's a lie.
I've got a very sensitive nose.
I have black.
So what do you use? Just plain old baby powder?
Yeah, because I'll put a deodorant on. I'm fine for about four weeks and then I get this rash.
And you don't get a nappy rash if you use that too.
What? The baby powder? No. It stops it. It heals it.
Exactly.
I use a special powder, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, it stops perspiration. That's why I don't smell.
Well, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I've got no self-esteem left. Thanks, Anastasia. It's 7 minutes to eight. Got a new job for you.
Oh, yes.
Yep. I'll read the ad. It says, I'm in search of a responsible animal lover to take Henry.
Yes. I love that name, Henry.
To Central Park. This is in New York on warm weekdays.
Oh.
I live a few short blocks from Central Park and have a pet stroller to get him to and from. And once he's there, Henry can roam freely under your watchful eye.
Oh, I had a teddy bear named Henry.
He's a 16-year-old African tortoise.
16-year-old
African tortoise.
Oh, he sounds adorable.
It says no tortoise experience is necessary, but you must be an animal person and also good with people.
Oh, I bet he walks faster than I do.
Well, it does. It says a little more info about Henry. He doesn't wear a leash and is surprisingly quick.
Oh.
So you need to keep an eye on him. You need to be able to lift him in and out of the stroller, so he's a couple of kilos. And he's also quite energetic and fearless.
Imagine walking into like a supermarket with Henry in your arms.
Hello.
Henry, yeah.
Oh, that's really beautiful.
So there's a job for you. So you might not be able to get the green cards anymore to get into the US, but maybe you can sell yourself.
Would it be okay for Henry? I'm just concerned. I'm thinking about Henry's well-being now. Is that okay for him to integrate in modern-day society like New York Central Park?
Well, it says here, you've got to be sociable with people.
Just imagined him breakdancing,
Because the ad says, trust me, they'll want to talk to you. If you're sociable and like to hang out in Central Park anyway, it's an easy
thing. So this one talks, does he?
He doesn't talk. People talk to you. A friend of mine sent in Queensland was talking to me on the phone this week and said, oh, look what's out here, and sent me a photo, and there's the massive snake.
Oh, wow.
Going over his lawn.
Oh.
Like a massive snake.
Does that make you nervous?
I almost went dizzy when I saw
really?
It. It was, I've got a terrible, terrible snake phobia. I was walking Fuzzy on
the... Do I sound like a snake?
You do, actually, because I was walking Fuzzy down the bike path and one crossed in front of me and it hissed. It did hiss. It was one of those tiger snakes. And,
I didn't see it.
But I did hear a little sort of hiss. It was a little...
A little
it
one.
Wasn't like you.
Not like... Was it like...
Yeah, yes. That was it. It was like that. And it sort of puffed a little bit.
I'm going to stand outside your window at nights now and just do that.
And then it...
I'm going to watch you sleep and just go...
It's horrible. It's a horrible photo. I think it comes from when I was bushwalking as a kid and my mum saw a snake and she squealed. She squealed so
loud.
Your
mum would sound so cute if she squealed. I think squealing is adorable.
She was squealing.
Especially from a mum.
Squealing. And, of course, I went all, oh, that's what it was like. And it set off this phobia. And whenever I see them, I feel really lightheaded.
Oh, my
it's
God,
horrible.
That's terrible.
I don't know how to deal with it. Have you got phobias?
I've got massive phobias. Look, one that really triggers me are rides.
Rides?
Like if you put me on the Ferris wheel, I'll be screaming like your mother.
On the Ferris wheel? Going around really slowly?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like I just cannot handle. Like I just can't do it. Even Dodgem cars are the only things that I can handle. And even then I get a little bit like, I'm going to get hurt.
But Dodgem cars are scarier than a Ferris wheel.
Yeah, I know. Go figure.
What about one of those things that goes around the
horses? Oh, my God, that to me, I'm already getting nervous.
Really?
Like, yeah, yeah, yeah. I can't stand. What about the ones, you know, the ones at Luna Park? You know, the ones that up and down?
The roller coaster?
Yeah. Have you been on one of those?
Yeah.
That to me is the most horrible thing. Like, that gives me anxiety just thinking about it. So I reckon that would be the worst phobia that I've got. But as far as snakes and spiders, I'll bring them along. Yeah.
I absolutely panic.
Yeah. Do you have any others?
Maybe heights a little bit, but not so much. The snakes outweigh absolutely.
So you wouldn't jump off a cliff?
No, I'm not going to jump off a cliff.
No,
unless a snake was chasing me, maybe I might. But
yeah. What about what's it called? What's it called? Springing off a board and
diving. I think it's like dinosaurs.
That makes me really anxious.
Does it?
Now, one of our presenters, Dean Murphy, has done it for years. I went and watched him like years ago for the Sydney Gay Games. And every time he jumped off, I would get such anxiety for him, for anyone that was competing. But I thought, wow,
so maybe,
that is so, so courageous.
Maybe you have a height phobia.
Yeah, maybe it is. Yes, thanks for articulating that.
So
it takes me a while though, doesn't it, to get to the point.
The top 10 phobias have been released. We know what they are. We're going to count them down. Number 10.
Oh.
Which is not technically recognised as a formal phobia, is clowns.
Oh, my God. I totally get that.
Clowns. People who... And
I've got to work with one. Always on high anxiety.
But I haven't got makeup on my face.
Well, you don't need it.
It's not sure why it's a phobia, but some people say it's because they can't see the true facial expression.
Yes, exactly right.
That.
Well, you've got a beard. So
yeah, but you can see my mouth. You can see
really.
my eyebrows go up and down in surprise at you. Number 9 is crowds. 4% of us
massive
are
That's
afraid
a massive
of
one.
Crowds.
Are you?
You know what? There were sometimes. So it's the fear of being in a situation where escape might be difficult. Now there was a situation a little while ago where there was a snake show.
Yeah,
and I thought I'm going to go there.
Why did you go to the snake show?
Because I wanted to get over my fear.
Oh, you're so okay.
I wanted to get over my fear, and I went to this snake show, and it was in a little place down near the beach, and there was one entrance, like a tiny little entrance,
right?
And it was a hall, but there was only this one exit and entrance. And so everyone, of course, was gathered around the entrance and exit. And I thought, okay, well, I'm not going to stand here. I want to be able to see. I'm here for a reason. I'm going to get over this phobia. So I pushed in through the crowd to the other side, not realizing that there was only one exit.
Yeah.
And then the man released the snakes. And my heart rate just went through the roof. And one of them started heading over my way, and then he collected that one. And then he said, oh, does anyone want to try the snake? And he had some sort of non-venomous ones. He had venomous ones too.
Yeah.
But he had non-venomous ones.
So he had ones that could kill.
He had ones that could kill. I think he might have taken the venom out or something. I don't know what they do.
That's
to
handy.
Them. So I don't know. Because he was picking them up and they were one of them was looking at me. Going, I'm going to get you. But then he said, does anyone want to try these snakes on, like put them around their neck? And all the kids lined up.
Yeah, and you didn't, right?
I didn't. And then one of them came up to me and was pushing their head against me.
So that would be the kids that I gave birth to.
Oh, it was horrible.
I would have encouraged
it. And I couldn't get out because...
Go get your Uncle Wazza.
That's what
Go
I
was. Scare him.
They must have known I was so scared. I couldn't get out. I couldn't get out because everyone was blocking the door.
All I can say is I cannot wait to stand over you while you sleep and hiss at you now. Now that I know that that's your massive phobia of yours.
Number 8 is flying. 7% of us are scared of flying.
Oh, really?
Yep, absolutely.
Are you?
No, not at all.
I will admit, though, when there's a little bit of turbulence, I look around at everybody's expression to see if I'm going to be okay. And they look like they're chilled out. And I'm like, okay, it's going to be okay.
Do you?
Yeah, always. I always look around to see if anyone's panicking.
Do you laugh when you see them panicking?
No. No, because if I saw them panicking, I'd be panicking with them.
At number seven is needles and getting shots. 8% of us are scared of having needles.
Them?
No, I hate them.
Really? I don't even know why you'd ask someone, do you like them? Of course not. But no, I don't have a problem
but
with
But I don't
them.
Have a phobia
no.
about it.
No.
It's like, you know, if I have to have a blood test, I'll go and I'll...
You'll do it.
I just won't look at it.
Yeah.
Number six is mice.
Mice?
9% of us are scared of mice.
Oh, they're cute little things.
I had a friend, my partner, ex, had a ferret.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I've got
How
a friend...
How long did you last with him for?
Quite a while, actually.
Wow.
And I had a friend, she's quite scared of mice and things, and I released the ferret when she was over, and it was...
Do you know what? People think that you're actually a nice guy. That's actually evil.
It was running
you're such
around.
A prankster.
It was running around her feet, and she was standing up on the couch screaming. Five is being enclosed in a small space. 14% of us.
Wow. So like being stuck in the elevator.
Stuck in the elevator.
Have you ever been paranoid about getting stuck in the elevator?
No, not at
Me
all.
Me all the time. So maybe it is a bit.
Only
of a phobia.
If I'm busting to go to the toilet.
Yeah.
Number four is spiders.
Oh, my God.
Spiders.
Are you scared of them?
No, spiders don't worry me at all.
All right, I'll buy you one next week.
And like the fear of snakes, it appears the fear of spiders may be innate from an early age.
Right, okay.
Yep. Number three.
You scared of flies?
No. They might be a bit irritating.
What about moths?
Moths,
no. Okay.
Number three. Can you guess what number three is?
I would say, look, I reckon public speaking.
Yes.
There you go.
20% of us. The fear of standing up in front of a crowd and talking is,
Now, how do you feel about that?
I get nervous.
Really?
Very nervous. I think it's easier to talk on radio than
you always
in front
hog
of
the
people.
Mic.
It's different. There's no one standing in front of us.
All right. So if you had to be on a stage next week for an event, you'd be nervous?
Oh, absolutely. Packing my dacks.
Really?
Absolutely.
Wow.
No question.
Let's make it happen.
Number two is me, snakes. 21% of us.
So people are more scared of snakes than public speaking.
Absolutely. And research suggests that infants have an innate fear of snakes when they're born.
Oh.
Meaning it's a result of nature.
Well, it's collective
and not nurture.
Consciousness, darling.
That's all right. So it might be hardwired into us.
Absolutely.
There's nothing wrong with it. And the number one.
Yeah.
The number one phobia out there, 23% of us have it, is height.
We're scared of how short we are. We're not going to grow. I've always had that issue too.
Yeah, so research suggests that people with this phobia overestimate vertical distances.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
I am very scared of heights, actually,
are you?
Now that I think about it, yeah.
Well, you're always hanging with your feet out the window,
yeah.
Here.
Well, like I was talking earlier on about diving, yeah? I mean, how the height and getting into the pool is so scary.
Yeah, I don't think I could
Would you
dive.
Be able to do it?
Not off one of those high boards.
Oh, it'd be so
I'd
scary.
I'd dive off the edge of the pool.
In a baby pool, backyard pool.
Colin, have you got any phobias?
Yes, heights are mine, especially on something that's not terribly solid. You know, I don't mind being up in a high building because I think that's relatively stable. But if it's something a bit rickety or maybe the edge of a cliff or something, you know, I'm always pleased to be back on terra firma because, for me, the more firmer, the less terror.
Cyberbullying has absolutely detrimental effects on people and children, including anxiety, depression, other mental health issues. Have you ever been cyberbullied?
Oh, absolutely. I was cyberbullied actually extensively by an ex of mine, and it was actually a very, very horrible thing to encounter. And every time I'd see her after it, she'd be running for the hills, and gladly she did run for the hills. But it was terrible, Warren.
Like, so when you'd see her in person, she was...
Running for the hills, but I'd get messages. My best friend would get messages. She was a real cyberbully, so she'd hide behind the screen, say what she needed to say, but publicly she'd be, yeah. So terrible. It was a really horrible time.
Were you able to do anything about it? Was there any
support? I was blocked.
Like
there was nothing that I could do. I did try to get a restraining order, but that kind of didn't, nothing really eventuated. So I was actually kind of lost about what to do with it, to be honest.
Robin Trivo is an internationally recognised expert in online safety. She's attending the Australian Government's Online Safety on the Edge conference this week. And is joining us on the line. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, Warren. Anastasia.
Oh, hello, Robin.
Robin, we've heard instances, particularly with the postal survey being conducted at the moment, where kids of LGBTIQ parents are being bullied at school as a result of the postal survey, as well as teenagers who identify with our community being bullying as well. What are the main effects of cyberbullying?
Oh, look, I think obviously there are a number of impacts, both, you know, socially, emotionally, and in terms of mental health as well. I think the thing that concerns me the most about young people who are being bullied or harassed or stalked online is that the online world is sort of a collision between online and offline. And so they take their vulnerabilities with them online. If they're being targeted at school or out in the real world sort of communities, then they will take those vulnerabilities when they're online. Now, the issue we've got is that there is some pretty alarming statistics about the fact that if kids are being cyberbullied, and by that I mean the extension of bullied in the real world as well, is that only 90% of parents actually know that it's happening. So if you don't know that it's happening, you can't support your child. And then we know also that only 20% of parents actually know or supervise their children's online activity. So we've got a real vacuum, I think, in the community where things are happening to kids, and for different reasons they tend not to tell their parents about it. Parents don't have a solution or have a way of finding out what's going on until the product that we launched last week can actually help them negotiate and navigate the digital lives of their children, and for parents to be more informed and therefore more engaged in their kids' lives.
So up until now, Robin, really what we've been doing is blocking sites if we want to control access to bullying. So if we want to sort of shut it down, the only way to do it is to say, okay, you can't have Facebook or you can't have Instagram or any of these other online vehicles.
Yep. So the problem we've got with blocking and spyware is that the company whose software that you might be using or the box that you might be using, you don't actually know what they're blocking. Therefore, you don't know what your kids are looking for or what sort of social media platforms they're using where some of these harms might be occurring. So I, as a parent, would want to know what my kids are doing online, and then sort of have conversations about that. So we also know that as children become adolescents, the influence and the authority of parents actually diminishes, and as part of identity formation, kids go online to find out all sorts of things and information about and guidance from other sources. They're seeking validation, they're seeking information about sexuality, about identity formation, etc. Now, because of that, they are often more at risk because the parents feel they've lost control, and therefore they will seek a sort of a technology solution where they block. Whereas Wangle Family Insights provides real-time analysis of behaviour rather than content. And that's really important because as parents, you need to know in real time what the risk factor is or the threat that your children are facing, and then be able to have a conversation and together negotiate how we as a family are going to deal with it.
So, Robin, can you give us an example of sort of a change in behaviour that you should be looking out for that might indicate that someone is being bullied?
Yes, well, actually, one of them, so we've got three major categories of internet threats. One is excessive use. So if they're using, for example, if they're gaming longer or if they're involved in social media for longer, you know, parents are encouraged, obviously, to negotiate some guidelines. I think there's also issues around after hours and harmful content. And I think one trigger that we have in our application is sometimes if kids are being bullied or harassed online, they tend to, for a short period of time, have absolutely no social media use. So that would be a change in a behavioural pattern, which is really a red flag to say, hang on a minute, we know that the majority of kids your child's age are in social media. How come all of a sudden your child stopped using it? So the kids are using an avoidance to protect themselves. It's sort of a self-protection strategy, but that is a change in behaviour. Also, parents need to be looking out for when they actually come away from their device or their computer, if they're anxious or they seem to be upset or a little sort of saddened by life in general, which is a bit different. That would be another sort of trigger for parents, red flag for parents to be aware of. And I think one of the powerful elements of what we provide parents is if they do receive that sort of trigger or the red flag, we then say to them, okay, this is what's happened, this is what you need to know, this is what you need to do, and if you need more advice, here's where you can find it.
Thank you, Robin. Thanks for your time this morning. We'll let you get back to the conference.
Thank you so much, Warren and Anastasia.
Thank you.
Thank you. A Florida man, 64-year-old, was arrested back in 2015 for possession of crystal meth. He's now received a settlement. He was driving a couple of years ago, a woman home from his church.
Yep.
Okay, and the police pulled him over for failing to come to
imagine
a
being
complete
a,
stop.
Like a woman from church.
So he's a 64-year-old. He's been to church, driving the woman home. He doesn't stop at a stop sign properly. You know how sometimes if you don't quite stop,
that's
breaking the law. They searched his car. They found some crystals on the floor.
Yeah.
And they say they tested positive for methamphetamine, right, with the whatever the testing kit was they used. But it turns out the kit might have been faulty. And although he told the police that he'd never even smoked a cigarette in his entire life, they were pretty sure they had the next Walter White on their hands.
Oh, my God.
That's right. But he figured out what had happened. And he informed the police it was, in fact, donut glaze.
What?
So it was donut glaze. So he had a habit.
Yeah.
But the habit was he ate too many donuts.
Donuts.
And the glaze had fallen on the floor. And for some reason, they mistook it for the drug.
Oh, my God. So are you sure they weren't crystal meth glazed donuts?
No, they weren't. They were just donuts with sugar on top.
Oh,
but it must have looked like it. And anyway, he's been awarded almost $50,000
compensation.
Compensation.
I'd want compensation. Do you imagine all the donuts are worth 50 grand?
Imagine.
That is pretty full on, though. Poor darling.
But he did admit he did have a donut problem.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
You wouldn't be eating them
talk
anymore.
Talk about having an early heart attack.
I'll have one of the ones without any icing on top, thanks. That's us for
what
today.
You mean that's us?
That's us.
That is us. We're finito.
We're gone.
You spion?
Yeah.
Could you have done another 3 hours?
I could have gone all day. All day with you, Anastasia.
Anastasia and Warren, Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.